Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Good morning, Memphis. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. If you don't know me, you should know me because I'm on the show quite a bit. I am the Memphis Tigers basketball beat writer over at the Daily Memphian. We got a busy show today. It's Friday. It's Memphis Tigers basketball game day. So we will get into that right here off the top. At 9:25, I'm going to be joined by Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. At 10 o'clock, as always, Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian is going to join me, and we will talk Memphis Grizzlies. Then, hopefully, we can potentially get Jeff Calkins on the line in the second hour. And we will do Jeff's bets at 10:25 and give you the one story you have been waiting for and get on out of here. I was going to start with the Memphis Tigers basketball team, Jeffrey, but I just, after listening to that introduction, you ain't writing nothing, homeboy.
Oh, yeah.
It just reminded me that I had a... not quite to the same level, but a you ain't right nothing homeboy moment at the Grizzlies game yesterday. Or was it? Yeah, no, not yesterday.
Wednesday.
2 days ago.
Wednesday.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yep. Brain is working awesome this morning already.
It's okay. It's Friday.
Carl Towns told me to don't write no BS.
Ah. Okay.
You want to know why?
Why did Kat tell you to write don't write no BS?
Because I told him that he was at one point a very highly rated recruit coming out of high school, and he quickly shut that down. I'm actually looking at this. It says he was the number 5 player coming out of high school.
Wait, he disputed that?
Oh, because I think at one point I mentioned, like, we have the number 1 player here. I was trying to draw, you know, the lines between Carl Towns and James Wiseman for a potential story. The story never happened, which sometimes when you go into these things, that's what comes out of it. But I was trying to draw the potential lines between Carl Towns and James Wiseman, and I think I mentioned, yeah, you know, we have a number one player here. And he goes, well, I was no number one player. You know, I had so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so ahead of me. He goes, I just want you to get that right. When you write this, don't go... don't write no BS now.
I was like, for the record, he was the Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yeah. So Carl, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that at all. But anyway, Memphis basketball plays tonight in FedEx Forum against Illinois Chicago.
According to the composite ranking, he was number 5 behind.
That's pretty high.
Yes, he was behind Okafor, Emmanuel Mudiay, Stanley Johnson. He went to Arizona, and then Cliff Alexander went to Kansas.
Yeah, so I'm not buying that at all. I
ahead of Miles Turner, Kelly Oubre, Tyus Jones, Justin Jackson. Wow, Justin Jackson was in that class.
I think that's totally a fair comparison to draw then between him and Wiseman, right? And then he goes number 1 overall.
Yeah.
So, and he played for a team where they had a lot of talent, and he had to sacrifice minutes and points and whatever else, and just kind of the same way that James Wiseman might have to do this year.
Yes.
So
I think that's a fair comparison too.
Totally fair line to draw, but I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns thought that. So he ended up giving me a quote about Jaren Jackson Jr. instead. And he was just like, this league does everything it can to try and rip you down and, you know, tear up your confidence, and you can't let it happen. You got to remember that there's a reason why you're here. That was his answer. But we will get into the struggles of Jaren Jackson Jr. when we talk to Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock. As I mentioned, Memphis basketball game day today. Tonight, 7 o'clock, FedEx Forum, or 6 o'clock, sorry, FedEx Forum. They are taking on UIC. And what's funny is I was hosting Gary's show, and I've said on this radio station a couple of times, now UIC, they return a lot of guys, and, you know, they got 3,000-point scorers and a senior-laden team and whatnot. And I've totally, after doing the slightest, very little bit of research into this, I've totally decided to change my mind, Jeffrey.
Well, you got a little spooked by the Olivet Nazarene game. That one didn't exactly inspire confidence.
Well, here's where I was gonna eventually go with this, but I wanted to run some trivia with you.
All right.
So the first game that UIC played mm-hmm. was a exhibition game, and it was against Parkside College or University, I don't know, but it's Parkside.
Sure.
I want you to tell me which state and what is the mascot of Parkside.
Okay.
State is it located in, without cheating?
Yeah.
And what is the mascot of Parkside? They beat Parkside by 4, 63-59, UIC over Parkside in their exhibition game.
All right, I'm going to go with it's in Wisconsin, and the mascot is a bench.
Oh, close.
Uh-huh.
It is in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And their mascot is the Rangers.
Oh, see?
Which would make a ton of sense,
Parkside,
given that their name
yeah.
is Park.
Yeah.
Side.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah. It sits next to, wait for it, a park. And
right.
Who manages and who controls the park?
A park ranger.
A ranger.
Yeah. I mean, brilliance. Brilliance on the side of Parkside there.
Is it Parkside College or University?
I don't even know. I wrote college, but I can't tell you. Like, it might be university. I don't have the slightest
okay,
idea.
Okay, according to this, it's the University of Wisconsin at Parkside.
Okay, well, it says Parkside on the logo on the UIC website. Just
they are allegedly. I use this. It's in apparently beautiful Summers, Wisconsin, and allegedly, they are a Division II team.
They are my favorite Division II team now. I'm a massive Parkside supporter. They almost pulled it out against the mighty UIC Flames. We'll see if the Tigers can do that tonight. Then they go on. UIC goes on. Then they play their first game. And we did. Let's be honest.
We legitimately did.
We had to look it up to figure out the pronunciation of this team. Olivet Nazarene.
Yes.
And maybe I should have known that because they are, I believe that's a religious term, the Nazarene.
Yes, it's a denomination.
Yes.
The Church of the Nazarene.
Right. And so they beat them by 3 on Tuesday, which is also a little glaring for the team that is picked 3rd in the Horizon League, has 3 1,000-point scorers, and pretty much all of their starters returning. So last year,
can someone explain to me why that game counted? Because Olivet Nazarene's an NAIA team.
You can play. Well,
how does that count? As like, I thought that technically has to be an exhibition or whatever.
You would think, right?
Yeah, like when Memphis plays CBU,
and
it doesn't count.
And to be honest, I didn't even know that they were an NAIA team, and that's even more concerning because they beat a Division II team by 4, and then they beat a NAIA team by only 3 a game later. So I guess my question here, well, first of all, Olivet Nazarene, mascot and state.
Okay, that's definitely going to be in Illinois.
Correct. You're the state master.
I'll go Bear.
Tigers. Classic.
I was in the right realm. Apparently, though, also that's where the Chicago Bears hold summer training camp.
Yep, Bourbonnais.
There you go.
So hopefully they don't play like the Chicago Bears, because the Chicago Bears, my team are terrible right now.
Mitch has problems.
Yeah, to say the least. So yeah.
I guess the question now for Memphis is going into this game, and again, this is going to be, I think it's going to be an absolute massacre. It's not going to be close. How long does this thing take to get completely out of hand tonight? Because it's going to get out of hand, and I think we're going to see James Wiseman dominate once again. There's not going to be anyone on the floor even close to him. What are we thinking, Jeffrey?
I'll say it usually takes till about 15 minutes of game time for it to get like really out of hand, because that allows for maybe Memphis doesn't come out and shoot the basketball well. Maybe UIC makes a few threes and they kind of, you know what I mean? Like similar to, I think it'll be very similar to the South Carolina State game where you'll look at the stat sheet and the score might be close, but if you look at the stat sheet, you look at the rebounding numbers and you look at kind of all the numbers that suggest whether how the rest of this game is going to go, I think Memphis will be in complete control.
Yeah, they should cruise. I mean, I'm more interested, again, I want to see individual players. Like, I want to see Boogie Ellis shoot the ball better. I want to see Lester Quinones shoot the ball better. They should get open shots tonight because you're playing against a team that's not going to have anybody who can stack up with Precious Achiuwa or James Wiseman. They're going to have to help a ton, and they should get open looks. We talked about this with Penny yesterday, which was, what do you think? Do you think that this is a long-term problem, or do you think that the guys just aren't shooting the ball well to start the season? Penny went on to say exactly what you think he would say, which is they're just not shooting the ball right now. And he said there was not one single shot, not one shot in that game, in that opening game against South Carolina State, that they took a shot where he said it was a bad shot or a shot that they shouldn't have taken, which, if you remember, is far, far different than what he said last year around this time when he was like, okay, Tyler's got to find a way to kind of tone it back a little bit. We're taking too many long-range shots. We need to get to the basket. You don't have that problem anymore.
No, I think that was the – yeah, like last year there was a lot of – there were a lot of shots outside of the offense. On Tuesday night, it felt like they got good looks. They just didn't hit them. And so I guess the question is, though, is that small sample size? Because you look at the free throw shooting numbers, and most people will tell you how you shoot from the free throw line is a better indicator consistently over the course of the year of how you are as a shooting team. And I think they went 19-21. And I think the only two people that missed were James missed one, and I think Precious missed one. So I think it's probably too early to push the panic button and say this team is going to struggle from the outside, but
way too early.
I definitely have flagged it. Like, cause I think how they shoot the basketball impacts whether or not this is a, shall we say, sixth seed in the tournament versus is this a top three seed?
I think so too. I think the reality of this is, by the end of the year, if James is the dominant player that everyone thinks he's going to be, teams are just going to pack it in. They're going to pack it in. They're going to say, beat us some other way. We're just going to deny James the ball. And they're not right now. They're not playing against teams capable of packing it in and having that and stopping that. But as they get into conference play, some of the teams in conference play will be capable of that. Some of them won't. But some of the teams will be capable of just, all right, we're going to go to 2-3. We're just going to pack it in, deny James and Precious the ball, and have fun shooting from the outside. If you beat us out there, then you beat us.
It'll be the game plan that we saw everyone use against DeAndre Ayton at Arizona. Like, the Buffalo game in the tournament stands out. Like, they just, I mean, four guys would surround him, and Arizona's guards were not good enough to beat you. And so, they got bounced early.
But I don't know if Arizona had... They had great players that season, but did they have as many players all over the floor as Memphis did? I think that's a good question. But in the spirit of the Jeff Calkins show, I want to do a poll.
All right.
Because we're talking about how tonight really is more about the individuals than anything else. Which way do we want to go with this, Jeffrey? Do we want to go... Because everybody's the most excited about James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa, and obviously those guys are going to be great. Do we want to go which freshman player do you think is going to be the best outside of those two?
All right.
Do we want to go which returning player do you think is going to have the biggest impact this year? There's five of those guys, but there's four good, pretty good options there. Which direction do you think we should go?
Okay, let's see. Because I want to say which one's going to impact the most. And so is there, of the non-returning guys, so let's limit it to...
They would be Damian Ball, DJ Jeffries, Boogie Ellis, and Lester Quinones.
Okay, and then if we go returning guys, it would be Alex, guys, Tyler, and Lance. Are we counting Lance? Which way do we count Lance?
Yeah, we're counting him returner.
Okay, and then Jaden, and I guess Ryan Boyce to an extent?
Yes, but I think you'd have to go with those first four guys if you went that route.
Let's go with the freshman.
Freshman, okay. Which Memphis freshman, not named James Wiseman or Precious Achiuwa, is going to have the biggest impact this year? The options are Damian Ball, DJ Jeffries, Boogie Ellis, or Lester Quinones. If I'm answering this question for myself, and I'm going down the list and looking, I think that right now there are two options that I would look at. But the first, and the guy who I'm probably going to choose, is going to be Damian Ball, because at this point, he is set as your starting point guard. He is going to have the ball in his hands more than any other player on this team, most likely. He's going to be the guy that's responsible of getting the ball to Precious Achiuwa and to James Wiseman. All of that, all of those points are going to be critical. When teams pack it in, his shooting ability, and he's not a great shooter, is going to matter. So whether he's knocking down those shots could be the difference between winning or losing a game at some point. I think my answer here is Damian Ball. I think if you wanted to go the route of DJ Jeffries in terms of impact, that would be interesting too, because, and I actually, I talked to someone yesterday and kind of went through the decision of why DJ came off of the bench, because that was a little bit of surprise to DJ's family the day of the first game that he was coming off the bench, especially after he started all six of the exhibition games. And when Penny talked after the game and sort of made it sound like it was a mutual decision for DJ to go to the bench, that was actually true, because DJ said their way of thinking was sort of, DJ is such a great scorer, he's so electric, as Penny put it, that when you look at the starting lineup, you have guys like James and Precious and Lester and Boogie, all who are scorers, all who can be great offensive players. And then when you look at the second unit, you've got guys coming off the bench who are more defensive-oriented, like Lance Thomas and Alex Lomax, and obviously not Tyler, but some of those guys. So it just made more sense for DJ to be an offensive focal point with the second unit than with the first unit. Now, with that being said, that means he could be a great player for this team and have a much larger impact when he's in the lineup with that second unit than the first unit, which means in general, he could be more important. That's the way I'm thinking.
So you believe that versus Damian Ball?
I'm going Damian here.
Okay.
Damian is my answer, but I think DJ would be an appropriate answer as well. And honestly, you could choose any of these four guys and make a case to me.
I'll say you can also make a case for Lester Quinones for what we were just talking about, the impact of perimeter shooting, and that is the biggest skill of Lester Quinones.
Yes, and well, but if that's what you're gonna, if it's all about outside shooting, then Boogie Ellis is in the exact same. Like, they're,
yeah,
essentially, are they the same thing? Because Lester and Boogie Ellis are very different players. Lester is a big guard who can play the three, who helps you run. Boogie Ellis is a two guard for now, who can also handle the ball in some situations and play a little bit of point guard, and is just a find your own shot type of guy, and is supposed to be a good shooter. But in terms of impact, is it, does it just, it's all reliant on shooting for those guys, in your opinion?
I guess you could make the argument with Boogie, you could say playmaking ability, but it appears to me that he is more comfortable as an off-ball guy right now, which is weird, even though he tells him, you know, like, he views himself as a point guard, but when you watch him consistently, I think he's more impactful off the ball.
I think you're right. And you know what? And we're talking all about offense, too. We should probably...
There's a fair point to be made here.
Right. We should probably also talk about the defensive end, because yesterday in Penny's pregame press conference, what the story that ended up coming out of it and the overlying theme of it all was not James, although it could be James every single one of these press conferences. You go in there and it feels like 60% of the questions are about James and what he can do. And I imagine if he has a performance anywhere near what he did on Tuesday, we're going to get the exact same thing tonight. But Penny was adamant about the fact that their defense still has a long way to go before they are the team that they think that they can be. And what I thought was interesting was he kind of said, when these players get in here, everyone sort of expects Mike Miller and Penny Hardaway and Cody Toppert all to be offensive guys. But in reality, they are defensive-minded coaches, and they have to be, because these kids are used to being the best player on their high school team who doesn't have to play defense. This is the James Harden effect, who think, you know, just because they're scoring all the points on the offensive end, that they can take a break on the defensive end. When you get to this level, you can't do that anymore, because everyone is capable of scoring on you.
Yeah, when you typically look at the teams that have the most success with the elite high school recruits, they typically start on the defensive end. You know, if you look at, if let's even take like Duke, when Duke was struggling 2 years ago, like it was, they struggled primarily because of defense. I mean, for God's sakes, we watched Duke play zone defense 2 years ago, which was absolutely mind blowing. And you think about all of Cal's teams, it always starts on the offense or the defensive end, because he kind of views, if I can get them to buy in on that end of the floor, the offense will come strictly because they're more talented, more skilled, and whatnot. And as you point out, most of them have a nice foundation already set in terms of their offensive games. And so I think it's why consistently, in fairness to Penny Hardaway, whenever you talk about scheme, whenever you talk about mindset with the team, he is preaching defense.
Yeah, and part of this, too, is all, it's like we talk about these other guys, not named James and Precious, but what Penny said yesterday was he thinks that James and Precious, he wants James and Precious to be the best defensive tandem in the country. He wants them both to be amazing rim protectors, don't give up anything at the basket, and then at that point, you're kind of just chasing people around on the perimeter, trying to run people off the three-point line and force bad shots, because he thinks that those guys can be erasers on the defensive end. And I agree with him. Like, that's the heart of your defense right there. We saw when Penny said that this entire thing was going to change, we all saw it on offense first, because the first play of the game, the only play of the game, by the way.
The only play
that they drew up to James Wiseman was a dump in and then a turnaround layup.
Yep.
And then we see him dunk on the putback. But he didn't pile up the blocks. I think he had three blocks. Or did he have three?
I think it was 28, 11, and three, right?
Yeah, I think he had three blocks, and Precious had one. DJ had four blocks, so he made an impact on the defensive end as well. But when you look at what those guys are capable of, you can kind of see, all right, there's still some progress to be made here, but the potential is there. The athleticism is there. And they haven't, they're not even familiar with all of this terminology yet. They don't know how to guard anyone. And this is a point that I think Calipari has made on several occasions too.
It was 28-11-3, by the way.
He's also got these young teams. Like, all these teams start on defense because these guys are not used to playing defense at this level. And he said that it's been a frustrating battle for this team so far, yelling at them to try and get them to play defense, and them yelling back and being like, well, you know, we're not familiar with any of this.
Well, even like, even if he played on a high school team that played quote-unquote man-to-man defense, the odds are overwhelming that at that level it was just, hey, you got that guy, and you're not really all that concerned with, you know, help side defense. You're not concerned with all the things that you have to do at the collegiate level. And so it does stand to reason that there would be more of an emphasis on it because, yet again, as Cal has pointed out time after time, the offense can be manipulated by just being more skilled, as we saw with James Wiseman on Tuesday night. I mean, South Carolina State could have had the greatest game plan in the world, which they didn't, against James Wiseman, and it wouldn't have mattered because James was just so physically superior to them.
Correct. All right, I found the exact quote from Penny about his team and on defense. He said, "Obviously, we have more offensive players on the team than we do defensive-minded guys. That's just a product of them being the best player on the team. And usually, in high school, the best player on the team doesn't have to play defense. He just kind of goes through the motions and plays when he wants to. And when you get to this level, everybody has to play defense. So it's much harder teaching the principles of what you want the guys to do when they're coming in as freshmen on the defensive end." Couldn't agree more.
I mean, in fairness, that has been a consistent message that he is, even when you think about in the summer, he was discussing that and how he 100% believes that this team starts on that end.
Yep. A couple other housekeeping things before we get Jason in here for the second segment, and we'll talk more Tigers. Malcolm Dandridge is getting closer. Penny Hardaway said he's not ruling out a redshirt for him quite yet, but they're not going to push him. He's experienced knee injuries before in his own career. He knows that they're sort of a mental challenge as much as they are a physical challenge. Not going to push him. They're just going to wait for Malcolm to tell them when he's ready. And if that takes too long, then maybe he'll decide to redshirt. But the hope is that he has some sort of decision or plan come December when some of these tougher games roll around. And then Isaiah Stokes still waiting. The way Penny put it was that they're stomping their foot on the ground at this point now, waiting to see if his waiver request for eligibility this season is going to be granted, but we do not know. So we will continue to wait, and I'm sure Penny will continue to be asked that question every single media availability.
Does this feel like
gives us an answer?
Does this feel like to you we're starting to see the Lance Thomas situation 2.0?
I have more hope for Isaiah getting this waiver than I did for Lance, simply because the NCAA is less sympathetic, I think, with the fact that your coach was cheating than if you decide to transfer home, and whatever reason you give about why you need to transfer home is going to be better than that. So while Lance's situation was unfortunate, I'm more optimistic that Isaiah has a chance to get his waiver granted. And you've actually seen that in different areas of the country. Like, guys who have gone home have actually had decent success getting these waivers granted. So we'll have to see. But it's taken a long time, and it feels like most of these transfers already have their decisions. I know there's a lot of guys who apply, so I know it's frustrating. I could hear Isaiah talking to Mike Miller on the bench before the first game. He's like, man, we need to get this waiver figured out, man. They need to tell me what's going on. At least that would give them the chance to get in the right mindset and say, okay, this is a year of practice and getting better, or figuring out how he's going to make an impact on this team. It's a challenge. But when we come back, we'll be joined by Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, so every store will tell you they got great customer service, great selection, low, low prices, blah, 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 blah. Robert Irwin Jewelers has all of those things. But what makes them different? Well, first they got Howie, and let's be honest. At this point, I almost feel like I do know Howie, and you should feel like you know Howie. When Jeffrey went and bought his ring there, it's because he felt like he knew Howie, and he said it was an unrivaled experience. They also have the perfect ring guarantee. That means you go ahead, pick the diamond, pick the setting. They put together the perfect ring for you. If you want to return it within a year, you can. Second, you can trade up. If your ship comes in, you decide you want a bigger, brighter diamond, even bigger and brighter, you can trade up for as little as just the difference. You pay the difference between them. They will match all prices on GIA loose diamonds. They've got the perfect diamond for you no matter the budget. And They also have lab-grown diamonds, if that's what you want. Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds. Go to any of their four locations or check them out online at rijewelers.com.
You can win a trip to the Super Bowl in the $150,000 NFL Pick'em promotion at Horseshoe Tunica, September 3rd through December 29th. Select your free pick every Tuesday through Sunday for a chance to win a share of $5,000 weekly. Be one of the top 10 guests at the end of the regular season and receive a share of $65,000 in prizes, with the top prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 54 and $20,000 in cash.
Horseshoe Tunica, official sponsor of the NFL. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4720.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Come for that special night or just a great evening out with friends. Featuring our signature shrimp and grits and other fresh seafood from the Gulf, we also offer sustainable beef, pork, and lamb entrees. Top off your evening with warm bread pudding and praline sauce. Make your reservations now at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Want to work for a company that can see your greatness? KTG USA, a division of Kruger Products, one of North America's leading manufacturers of quality tissue products for home, industrial, and commercial use, is hiring. Qualified production machine operators, industrial mechanics, electrical and instrumentation technicians, and entry-level packing positions. At KTG USA, we see your greatness and want you to work in a place where you can grow and your greatness stands out. Interested candidates can apply online at ktgusa.com.
At Sport Clips Haircuts, we're on a mission to help our veterans with their education. In 2013, we established the VFW Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program. With the help of your generous donations, we've raised over $6 million and awarded more than 1,400 scholarships across the country. Visit Sport Clips today and help a hero. And on Veterans Day, November 11th, Sport Clips will donate an additional dollar for every haircut we give. Help us continue this honorable mission.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system. Prepare to engage in fun at warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today and you could win up to $1,000. In a flash, the new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers could win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile play slip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your play slip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
What's a Zoom room? It's what your conference room is meant to be. With flawless video and audio conferencing, instant wireless content sharing from any device, and just one tap of a button to start a meeting. Any space can easily become a modern, simple-to-use Zoom room. From huddle rooms to executive offices to huge training rooms. And whether you have a few rooms or a few thousand, Zoom Rooms is effortlessly scalable. Sign up online for a free 30-day trial of Zoom Rooms and meet happy with Zoom.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary in range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished a normal sexual life.
The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
Are you shopping for a new car? Orion has auto loans with great rates for your budget. Visit orionfcu.com for more details. That's orionfcu.com. Conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
All right, we're back on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff today. And we are now joined by Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show.
Hello.
Jason, how long is it going to take to get ugly tonight?
It won't be long. Look, we all thought that this was going to be a little bit of a step up, and I think even if you look at them statistically, they are. They're what you talked about it. I checked. They're picked to finish third in the Horizon. Got one first, couple of all preseason, all conference guys. So decent, a little bit better, you'd say, than South Carolina State. But I saw those. Saw that preseason result and saw their opener have not looked good. So, to answer your question, I'll go middle of the first half and they'll put it away.
So, do you agree with me that, honestly, tonight, again, it's more about the individual guys? Like, now we've seen what James can do, but, like, let's see these other guys get going.
It's absolutely a tune-up for Oregon. That's right. What you use it for, to get the other guys going, to make sure I'm with you 100%, to make sure everybody else is as locked in as James looked the other night, to make sure your guards. I mean, you got good shots in that opener. They just didn't go down. Yeah. So you'd like to see that happen again where the good shots are there. You'd like to see a few more drops. So Quinones and Tyler, you feel like there's strokes there when you're heading into a big one, obviously, next week against Oregon. So I hate to use UIC as sort of the tune-up game, but that's absolutely what it is for a Memphis team that's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, and it's funny, like you rarely get the coaching cliches from Penny in these press conferences. Yesterday he was asked, like, are they going to overlook UIC?
Sure.
To go to, looking ahead to Oregon, and he was like, you know me. He actually looked at me and goes, you know me, I would tell you if I thought that. But mm-hmm. I honestly don't think that. I think that they're just excited for every single game at this point. They're so young.
Yeah.
They don't know
anybody.
No,
it's
like,
so
just
early.
Get me out there in front of the crowd and let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, do you have an update on the poll?
I do indeed. I'm curious to know Jason's perspective. Which freshman not named James Wiseman or Precious Achiuwa will have the biggest impact on the Tiger season? Drew, how did you think this one was going to get?
I said I thought Damian Baugh would lead and DJ Jeffries would be second.
Okay, it's flipped. 52% thus far have said DJ Jeffries. 32% have said Damian Baugh. 10% Boogie Ellis. 6% Lester Quinones. Actually, Drew, this was a good question because I think legitimately there's a case for all four.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, you could go. I like what you said, that you could argue it for just about all of them. Ball's going to have the ball in his hands, clearly. They love him as a playmaker. What do you have, 8 assists in the first game? He knocks down a couple of threes, looks every bit the point guard that you wanted him to be. I still say DJ Jeffries because he plugs so many holes. And maybe Penny and him are right that he's better for that second unit. But what you'll see a lot of times, and I don't know how many games we're going to see, maybe against the lower-tier opponents where it's a first unit and then an altogether different second unit. But even with DJ on the floor in this last one, he's out there and throwing alleys to James Wiseman. So he's going to – I figure he gets mixed in. And because of that, right, that it's kind of both, and maybe he's the leader of the – when the second unit's out there and he's sort of that utility guy with the first unit, that it's him. And just because he can fill – you saw it. I mean, what – he had four blocks, which surprised the mess out of him.
That was amazing.
His energy early on, once he got in the game, that reverse dunk helped kind of get him going because there was kind of a lull before then. I mean, Wiseman was getting whatever he wanted, but with the rest of the squad. And so I think DJ, and it sounds like a lot of folks have been impressed with him, and I am certainly one of them. everything they've asked of him, from starting at the four in the Bahamas, all preseason, he's delivered. And clearly on the boards, whatever they've wanted, he's given them. And so I'd say him, because he's just that guy that's sort of capable of doing a little bit of everything.
I'll put it this way. I think statistically, Damian Ball, just because he is on that first unit and is throwing lobs to Wiseman more
getting
often,
getting eight assists,
might surpass what DJ does. And maybe not scoring-wise, but statistically, he's going to do things across the board. Where DJ, though, impact-wise on the game and
all
the result
over.
Of the game, I think you make a strong point
there. What about Boogie, though? What about Boogie in the sense that if he's going to play off the ball? Look, when they first got him, we all said, okay, he's clear the way. He's going to play the point, right?
I think that was the pitch at the time.
Right?
Yeah.
And so now we see, well, he's got Damian in that position. He's talked about it. Boogie's playing off the ball. And I just think at some point, we saw it with the 18-point game, that's going to lead to some big-time nights from him. And so in terms of scoring, too, he could be up there. Because, again, if he's going to play off the ball most nights, sure, we know they've got playmakers all over the floor, so he'll have some assist games, too. But I see that setting up as some big scoring nights for him. So, you know, if it turns out where, hey, maybe he's a 14- to 15-point scorer because that's his main objective, I could see him sort of filling that role, too, and maybe he's up there, too, with the points.
And then if you want to go all the way down the line and talk about Lester, you could argue that he might fit the system better than anybody else because he's a big guard. If he's playing three, he's going to help him play fast more so than anybody else.
And I've liked his ability to play make.
Right.
You know, we knew he was a shooter, but my gosh, when he's got the ball in his hands, he can make some plays at that size. It's fun to watch. So definitely valuable.
I think for sure you could make a case for any four of those guys, and I would probably –
I'll go DJ, and you're going ball?
I'll go ball.
What'd you go, Jeffrey? I know
I struggle. I have the advantage where I can't vote because I put the poll up.
Of course.
I do think the answer for me would be DJ, just because he does feel like a Swiss Army knife.
What he's looked like so far.
He's a long guy. There are so many things that he brings to the table athletically, whereas I feel like the other guys are more specialist in different ways. I feel like Lester's a shooting specialist. I think Drew very clearly pointed out Lester and Boogie kind of fill the same role, but maybe perhaps in different ways. And then I think Damian Ball is the defensive specialist with that first unit, but I still think DJ is going to be the guy that impacts both the first unit, the second unit, and I think his length is going to cause more problems than what we see from the other three.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I think with DJ, you know, having watched him in high school, AAU, a little bit, not a lot. I wasn't at every one of his games, but it felt like much of his game was dictated by how much he was scoring, right? That DJ was the ultimate bucket, right, down in Olive Branch. And even in AAU.
What, did he do 51 points game or something
and
crazy?
And if he wanted to, you know, a kid could have averaged 35 if he wanted to, right? And so I'd made the mistake of sort of considering him as a guy that, man, if he ain't scoring, right, I don't know how much. And he's been the opposite of that, literally a guy whose game has not been dictated by that, who, listen, even if the buckets aren't, what did he get, four shots in the first game? And he's still giving you everything in the other categories. That has to be.
And he said he needs to take more.
Oh my! Well, he's gonna have. If you're gonna keep everybody happy, DJ, that dude used to getting some shots, used to getting some buckets. But his willingness to do the other things, I mean, it's been, I think, one of the revelations of the season. Very early on.
There's no bigger example of that than him saying, "I'm okay being the guy that comes off."
He said it in the first presser. He said, "Hey, I'm coming from Olive Branch. I ain't the guy no more." You know what I'm saying? Like understanding that early. It's one thing to say it, Drew. You know this deal. But when they get on the court, their folks are in the stands. You know, they got all their folks from OB saying, go get 20 tonight. It's a different thing to do. It's one thing to say. It's a different thing to act like it and play like it. He has. He's been tremendous.
So the overlying theme yesterday of Penny's press conference is two things. One, defense, and two, basically, the struggles and frustration of coaching a young team on the defensive end. He said that he thinks James and Precious can be the best defensive tandem in the country. What say you of that?
He's absolutely right, especially if James is as locked in on showing everybody what he's about as he was that first game. Him and Precious together, look, Washington's got some big boys too. But those two together, as athletic and as long as they both are, we're talking about two potential lottery picks and should be lottery picks. Nobody in college basketball should be able to. Sure, you're going to be able to score on them, but in terms of what you can be defensively, as long as they are, Drew, and as much as you can do with those two, you know, I know Penny's early on, and you got to be worried about something, right? You're coming out of that first game, and you, for the most part, you play well. The only other thing offensively, maybe the shooting, you'd be a little. But again, you got good shots, even amid that. Precious and James are going to clean up so much mess that you didn't have the luxury of being able to clean up last year.
Especially when Precious is at the four.
Thank you. Those two, just alone, again, with the lengthy athleticism, just standing there, just putting their arms up, they don't necessarily have to get the actual block. What, James had three, Precious had one, but how many shots are they altering in college basketball? That's the thing. If those two are all, if they're hands up, I mean, if they're walled up, it's going to be tough, especially if you've got those two spread out in the lane. So, and you can do so many different things with them. We've seen Penny head east. Hell, he'd put a 6'9 out front with some of his presses. I mean, so who knows if maybe one time we see Precious out front of a defense.
I think DJ would be a good person.
DJ's another guy at 6'7", and as long as he is 6'7", 6'8", he told us. So Penny's out defensively. I think they're going to be fine because, again, guys are going to actually be able to gamble more now because some of those mistakes when guys got by him that were layups last year, heck, you got to the bucket on Memphis last year, it's 2 points. That stuff's going to be cleaned up so much more because of what you've got back there. Such a difference. It's night and day difference.
And then the other thing was just, you would think when you look at Penny and Mike and you see these awesome scorers in the NBA and a guy like Cody Toppert who plays for the Suns, who coached the Suns, who have all these offensive players, that they would be offensive coaches. Penny insists that they're not, that they're defensive-minded guys and that it's kind of been a struggle coaching defense over these last couple months because you got guys who are all the best players on their team, didn't really have to play defense.
Not on a nightly basis, certainly.
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world. And that's the thing with young teams. That's where you want to start. See, Penny knows, and this was pretty much the case with his East and with his AAU squads. There's no question about it. Is from an offensive standpoint, their talent on most nights, it's going to kill teams. And even this year, it's going to beat some good teams. You know, at NC State, you may just out-talent them.
And they don't look great.
But man, they didn't. I mean, you lost to Josh. Love Josh to death. You shouldn't be losing to Georgia Tech. You know, you're supposed to be a tournament team this year. So Penny knows on most nights, offensively, you've got so many different guys. Even if one or two guys off, you can still blow guys out because you've got so much talent there. If you're going to do what the goal is here, right, deep run tournament, national championship, at least according to what the potential that Penny sees, it's on that end. It's defensively. It's can you do so? You got to jump on them early. You got to stamp out habits early if you can, to the extent that you can. Because again, if you can get them locked in on that side, offense is going to be fine because of how many scorers you've got. My gosh, they got so much talent offensively. They almost don't even just go out there and run your stuff. How many sets did you have to run the first one?
Like you said, Penny drew up one play for James Wiseman.
Is that the first one?
It was the first play of the game.
The dump down.
Dump down layup.
That's all you got to do. And so, again, what am I going to focus on then if I'm the coach? If they've got that pretty much handled on most nights, right, I don't have to script it out, I'm going to focus on the defensive end. It's the smart thing to do. It's the thing you're going to do. If you're going to be the difference between a good team or an elite team is going to be on that end of the floor, shutting people down.
And I think at that point, and part of the question here is you want these kids to play an NBA style, so you want them to play man-to-man, but at the same time you want James and Precious to just stand down there in the paint and make sure nobody scores. So maybe if you play a team that has a big man that can shoot, it becomes a little bit more challenging, but you find other ways to adjust. And I think at some point this year, you just got James and Precious in the paint and guys chasing people off the perimeter. It's going to be really, really hard.
It's such an advantage to have two of them. Because if it's just James Wiseman, if you're an opposing team, right, you're trying to figure out how to score, maybe you get a big and you try to pull him out. All right, well, you still got 6'9 Precious down there, right? Just about as long and as athletic and with as much of a motor and can get back up on, you know, in terms of the quick step, the NBA quick twitch athleticism, he's got all that. And so if you're going to pull James out with a big that can shoot, right, hell, Precious is still down there. You can sit him side by side. You can put him one high, one low. There's so many different things that you can do there. Remember, last year, Penny was telling us literally after what, game two, game three, I can't remember what it was. Remember reading in yours, I'm going to make Isaiah Morisa a rim protector, right? He's going to have to be a rim protector
for us. That's not him.
Well, we all said, Penny, with all due respect, we don't think you can do it. Like, and unfortunately, see, that's not what he was. Well, you're dealing with a different set of tools now, and that's the thing. You don't have to try to force anybody to be something or ask somebody to play above their head. Now you've got guys that can not just fill the role, but be elite in those roles.
And I think, you know, to your point, You want to put one big man, or you want to get a big guy out there that can shoot and draw one out. You know, not a lot of these college teams are going to have two
this
big men that can do that.
This is college basketball, exactly.
And what do you want to do? Play guards instead and go small ball? You're going to get killed on the offensive end. No way you can defend if you try and do that.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. And for the, you know, the AAC, which again, you know, I don't think will be as good as last year. It may surprise. I mean, Yetna going down for South Florida, huge blow.
Bad. Yeah, that's
huge
a bad
blow.
Loss.
Huge, great big for them. One of their, they had too many, three on the preseason teams, but the best, the one that should have been on there, he's gone. And again, that's a, you know, South Florida, you were expecting to sort of be the, maybe that team that comes up like a UCF was last year because you figure they're going to come back, or a Temple that was sort of up there. Well, now with them down, I mean, you figure it's going to be even a little bit easier of a ride for Memphis.
I
through there.
I think Brian Gregory's a nerd.
He had Georgia Tech before Josh, didn't he?
I believe that's correct,
right? Did he get? Did Gregory have it before Josh? I think so. I've watched a little Brian Gregory.
He's like, I don't know. Just
last
to hear
year,
him
I'm looking
talk
at him,
about...
I'm saying he's got some players, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, South Florida may be something. Because if you remember, Antigua had it before. I want to say Antigua had it at one point. We thought, oh wow, he'll get South Florida back on. He didn't.
You nailed it. Yeah,
it was Gregory.
And then he was a consultant to Michigan State.
There it is.
For two seasons.
I knew there was something in between for him, I thought.
I wonder. I don't know if these coaches can vote for their players on first or second team, but whoever left James off of the first team, like, somebody had to put Alexis Yetna ahead of him and thinking that he's going to be the center in that spot, right?
I'm sorry.
I wonder if it was Brian Gregory.
Could've been.
And he, you know, when he talks about Penny, he talks about, oh, it's not going to be as easy as he thinks this year up at Media Day. And last year, this is why I said he was nerdy, called him the hip happening coach. I was like, you don't call somebody hip happening.
Was there a little twinge of that from Kelvin Sampson last year too, that you got to get to the games and coach? Or am I just convincing myself of that?
I think that was a tubby defense more than it was anything else.
I feel like, and maybe I've convinced myself of this, but I feel like Penny last year with his coaching, with how his team played, earned Kelvin's respect from that. If he didn't have it before, and I'm sure Kelvin would tell you he did, but I think Kelvin was super impressed with the job they did last year, and he's earned.
Oh, he was trying hard.
The godfather of the AAC. Yeah, I guess you'd have to put Greg Marshall sort of up there, too. He's a hell of a coach. But Kelvin sort of, he's given him and given him that respect because I think they were impressed last year.
Kelvin, no doubt, was trying to hide behind Memphis. He was like, we don't want to be the favorite. You guys go be the favorite. We're perfectly happy to give it to you. And nobody wanted to let him do that, including Penny was like,
you're right, though.
We're
I think
not
it was,
buying it.
It was more about his guy Tubby than it was anything about,
I think
hey,
so.
Penny,
you
I
could
doubt
tell me
Penny.
Kelvin's right. Kind of, he's one of the few coaches that I feel like somewhat in the middle, rocking a hard place, because I think he clearly, he's had a relationship with Tubby, I would presume, for a very long time. And I would.
And the narrative was he was nationally that Tubby was done wrong.
Right. And I think also, I do think, though, you're right, where I do think that Penny certainly earned some respect from Kelvin. And so he's probably in a tough spot because, you know, I presume it's one of his really, really long-term friends in Tubby. But at the same time, it's like, I can't just dismiss what I saw.
I do suspect he will maximize Quentin Grimes, who would average like eight last year in Kansas.
Nate Hinton is a beast.
Yeah. I mean, Houston will be good, and much of it will be because of Kelvin Sampson.
All right, before we get you out of here, obviously the vibe after those exhibition games is totally different than it was on
Tuesday. People getting scared.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
Your co-host, John Martin, was not scared at all.
He told everybody, stop.
He's telling everybody.
Right with
him. How are we feeling now going into the Oregon game on your side, knowing that there's no Enfali Dante down there?
Yeah.
And they played against Fresno State in their opening game, won pretty easily.
Houston's got them, too, I saw again.
Yeah.
Not too long. This month, I want to say.
Yeah, so How are we feeling going into Tuesday?
Oh, I think you got to feel pretty good. Like we said, you'll feel better if after tonight, you know, Tyler's hit a few more threes. Ken Jonas has found his stroke. And again, you'd say, well, it's separate games, Jason. But no, I mean, you're talking about playing up there in Portland on Tuesday, right? When are you getting out of here?
I'm getting out of here on Monday.
I figured
I've got an absolutely insane few days.
Like
I'm
nobody's
hosting
talking
show.
To Penny before Oregon, right? This is after tonight, and that'll be the last time before Tuesday.
Tonight will be the last time.
I mean, it's right on top of you for the most part.
Right.
You said your schedule's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to make my way down to Tuscaloosa.
I remember those days.
One versus two game.
Oh my gosh, you're trying to get that in too?
We'll see. I don't know if it's going to happen at this point, but then get on the flight to Oregon and let's go. And
is Alabama going to cover?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to win the game.
I'm scared. Everyone in the freaking world is on LSU. And this just feels like
I know.
You feels don't like care. Everybody's with you, against right? Alabama.
Used to be you could be on that LSU boat by yourself. Not anymore.
No, it's and I not almost wonder year. If there's like the
and he's been awesome against what top ten ranked teams. What's his record? Or it's unbelievable. Orgeron's record. It's unbelievable.
LSU I don't have it in scored front of me. 17 points against Alabama in 3 years.
I know, but you and I both know things are different this year.
Still,
it all depends on right. I mean, how much money is Alabama spending on Tua's recovery? That's what I want to know. The medical equipment that's in his dorm room, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical treatment?
I
mean, y'all, good Lord.
Yet my man can't sign a couple autographs for some bucks. That's the interesting thing about it.
We'll see how healthy he is.
Jason.
Good luck with safe travels, brother. You'll be everywhere.
I don't know if that's actually
going to be crazy.
Happen. We'll see. But I do know that I have a lot of very interesting stories coming up this weekend in the Daily Memphian. In preparation for Oregon on Tuesday. That should be a massive game.
Yeah, it will be.
thanks for joining us. When we come
appreciate
back,
you, brother. Keep up the good
we
work.
Will be joined by Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So I was at Triumph Bank the other day. I went to the one on the little island that's just this side of 240, just west of 240, where the Starbucks is. That's where I was. I walk in there, and I had a little bit of a glitch. And so so what did I do? I picked up my phone and I called Holly, my own banker. Now, I would ask you, do you have a cell phone number for your banker in your phone? I would venture that the answer to that is probably no. I never imagined such a thing was possible, but it is. It was. We straightened it out. No problem. It's the difference between a bank that is a wall where you stick your card and get your money and is totally impersonal and that's it, and a bank that is totally invested in the community. Will Chase started the bank with a group back in 2006 because they were dedicated to being invested in Memphis, and that's what they've done, both in terms of reaching out and doing good things in Memphis, but also in making banking easier for all of us. That's what they do for me. That's what they can do for you. They're invested in the community and making banking easy for you.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network, set curfews with parental controls, and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires equal bill and autopay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hannah Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
Don't be left standing outside this season. Visit the Sportsbook Lounge at Samstown. Take a seat, take a sip, and win big. You won't miss out on any game action at Samstown Tunica. Must be 21 or older. Other restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Macy's Veterans Day Sale has our lowest prices of the season on furniture. With cooler temperatures here, you can stay cozy and update your home for holiday guests. The Jolene two-piece sectional created for Macy's seats a crowd for just $999. Keep your bedroom clutter-free with the Tribeca Queen Storage Bed, only $489. And get our lowest prices of the season on mattresses, plus great Sealy closeouts. Shop in-store at Macy's.com or call 1-800-BUY-MACY.
It's a new season, so it's time to remind you that if you are seeing cracks in the walls of your home, if you have any structural problems, if your floors are sinking or sloping a little bit, you could have a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you know by now you have a serious problem. And who do you call? You call Redeemers Group, of course. The phone number is 541-8765, 541-8765. But you call them, A, because they're a local company that's been serving this area for more than a decade, and they're affordable and quality, but also because you can have them come out and check out whatever's going on, and it won't cost you a single cent. 541-876.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.